Thank you, Kate. Let's move in now to a time for our message. And as we do, let's just open in prayer. Father, we just thank you that you are a part of this church family. We thank you for all that you do for us and all that you are. Father, we just pray that you just open the hearts of our congregation this morning, Lord, that they are willing to receive, and we give glory back to you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's an extremely short message this morning, and Zoe and I had a challenge this morning as to whether I would finish speaking first or whether she would get to colour in an entire piece of paper first. So you haven't even got your paper yet. You better hurry up. Clock's ticking. Go. I don't know why, but when I write a message, I feel that it has to have a title. And I think Mark Huggins has shared that before. And so the title of this morning's message is Pray for the Preacher. When I talk about the preacher, I'm not talking about myself today. I'm referring to Greg. And as I mentioned earlier in the service, Greg has been unwell this week. And so I have the honour and undeserving opportunity to share with you this morning. Greg has started off in the interim ministry leader role impressively. He's been well supported by Kath. He's made positive connections with our church staff and those within our church family. And I believe that you would join me in agreeing that Greg has hit the ground running. Not only, but running in sync with the direction in which our church is headed. When Greg messaged the elders earlier in the week to say that he wasn't well and if we could cover for him, my first and immediate reaction was to pray for him. Pray for the preacher. A preacher's life is a life of temptation and danger, not the least of which is the danger to think that you're more important than you really are. None of us are irreplaceable. It's the message that's essential, not the messenger. As long as the preacher remains a servant of the Word of God, he'll do well. If, however, his ministry becomes a vehicle for his own self-promotion or self-glorification, he's got a big problem. My apologies, I should say he or she. The Apostle Paul is a true example of Christian living, and it is he too that implored the Ephesians and us today to pray for the preacher. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20, Paul says, "Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." And so here we have the Apostle Paul. Unlike me, he was not sitting at his dining room table, tapping out a message on Microsoft Word with a cup of coffee within reach. He was chained to a Roman guard, a prisoner. And yet Paul is set free. They've chained his wrists, but they haven't taped his mouth. All he wants to do is speak a message clear and bold. Incredible as it is, he doesn't ask the people to pray for his release. He doesn't ask them to pray that he would be treated well. He only asks that they pray that God will let him preach the name of Jesus. Pray for the preacher. The preacher has a charge to keep. He has an assignment. His task is not to entertain, not to dazzle or wow. He's not expected to display cleverness or profound knowledge. His sole assignment behind the pulpit is to speak a word from God. He's to do what Paul and every other preacher who has made a difference in people's lives has done. Tell, warn, and encourage with simplicity, clarity, and sincerity. The simplest job description you can give a preacher is to say that he or she is a sign. And what do signs do? They inform. Speed limit, 60. Or stop. They also warn. Wet paint or high voltage. Signs also provide encouragement or even relief. And here, who here hasn't had relief when you see the sign, restrooms? What don't signs do? Imagine if you saw a sign, speed limit 60, and Back to the Future 8 is showing tonight at the cinemas at Station Street at 9 p.m. By the time you'd finished reading that sign, you'd be on the other side of the road, headed onto the path of a tree. Signs don't decorate important messages. One thing I do enjoy about Greg's messages is his ability to relate. Greg has this ability to turn passages from the Old and New Testament into similarities we can relate to today. Not only that, he's actually quite funny. Signs don't decorate important messages, but it's okay to be relatable. It's okay to be funny. Jokes or stories serve a purpose of illustration. They're like cashews in your chicken stir fry or sultanas in your All Bran. The cashews or sultanas make it tastier, but it's the chicken and vegetables or the All Bran that contains the vitamins. It's the message that contains the important vitamins. Pray for the preacher. Pray too that he would be bold. Paul asked that the Ephesians would pray for him to be bold by using the word fearless. It's not easy to tell people the truth, regardless of whether you're standing behind a pulpit or not. Touch wood, I've never been imprisoned, but I've known people to get mad or upset when I've told them the truth. And this is because the truth is not a comfortable fit. It's not always soothing to hear. Preacher doesn't want to get mad at them. Preacher doesn't want people to get mad at them. A preacher wants people to like them. And the problem is that it's not their job to get people to like them. It's their job to speak the truth. Like the Apostle Paul was, the preacher can often feel like they're in chains. This chain that the preacher wears is made up of many links, each with a different expectation. Every person in the church will have a different expectation on the preacher. To some, he's a teacher. To others, a shepherd, an administrator, a manager, a scholar, an employee, a vision caster, a hand holder. To some, he's in the office 8 hours a day and then evangelizing the rest of the time. Putting aside the title of interim ministry team leader, right this minute we're referring to the preacher. So is all a preacher do is preach? No. But it's because that they are a preacher that they do things beside preaching. They get into people's homes. They get into nursing homes and hospitals. And it's not because someone here thinks that they ought to. They do these things because they are a preacher. They do these things because of the word of God. They'll visit people because of his word. Jesus tells them to share the word with the hurting and the unbelieving. They also do these things because they can't preach the word of God and see it penetrate your life without sharing their life with you. Oh, how much a preacher would love to walk into their new position as a pastor with a ministerial handbook, a guide to everything they should do and everything they shouldn't do, a handbook with a weekly plan all set out, The closest a preacher can get to a ministerial handbook in the Bible is found in Timothy and Titus. And when we read in these books, is that Paul is ready to leave. He's been poured out like a drink offering. After he's gone, it's up to Timothy or whoever Timothy appoints to carry on. And Paul leaves them with this simple instruction: preach the word, live the word. And so in the end, the preacher has only two things to offer. No matter how talented, no matter how gifted, no matter how big their church is, no matter how small their church is, he has just two things to offer: the word he speaks and the life he lives. As the preacher becomes more experienced over the years, and likely in Greg's case, who has been in ministry for 28 years, they become less concerned with the chain of man's expectation, but become more concerned with another chain, a chain that is bound around others, not the preacher, and that is the chain of unbelief, the chain of the unbeliever. Some people sitting in church will not confess that Jesus is Lord and follow him. Some people who did confess him as Lord and were baptized have since disappeared. Some still come every Sunday wearing this chain of unbelief. Try as they might, as hard as they can, the preacher cannot break the unbeliever's chain. It's a spiritual battle, and the weapons of warfare are spiritual. The weapons are the word of God and prayer. In Ephesians 6, the last piece of equipment Paul provides us for our spiritual warfare is prayer. I wonder what would happen if at 9 p.m. on Saturday night, every one of us, wherever we were, stopped what we were doing and prayed for God to move in this church on a Sunday morning. What if? What if we prayed for the teachers? What if we prayed for Deborah and Jonathan, for the worship leader and the worship team? What if we prayed for the preacher? What if we prayed for the finances of this church? What if we prayed for the person ready to share the communion message with us? What if we prayed that every heart that was to attend on Sunday morning? I wonder what God would do. I know there are a select number of people who come here on a Monday evening to pray for this church. Imagine if we joined these people. For those of you who are available on a Monday evening here at the church at 7:30 p.m., I believe, nod, you are welcome to join this prayer group. But I also encourage you, next Saturday evening at 9 p.m., stop what you are doing and pray for our Sunday morning service. You can set your alarms now, pop it in your calendar, and come next Sunday with expectation. How are you going, Zoe? I'm nearly done. For now, I want us to enter a time of prayer. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up, and I'm going to open it up for anyone in our congregation who wants to pray. Pray for Greg. Pray for Kath. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our church family, our hurting, our rejoicing. Pray as you feel directed. We're a church who doesn't expect long-winded, eloquent prayers. Maybe you have a word. Maybe you have a single sentence. Maybe God is willing you to share what he's placing on your heart today. While we are praying, feel free to come up the front and one of our prayer warriors will pray with you. Maybe you are still wearing the chain of unbelief. Feel free to come up and give your life to Christ. acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior and allow those chains to be set free.